Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
We are currently in under blankets.
We are. I was a bit chilly.
Lucy was a bit cold. And yeah, both got blankets on. And we've
Which apparently are Norwegian.
Yeah, hygge. Hygge comes from Scandinavia. So being half Norwegian, always got a blanket at the ready.
Always.
Jinx or whatever. And we have got an Isle of Arran candle lit from my friend Claire, who is also the London acupuncturist at Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
And she bought a candle. She's moved to the Isle of Arran in Scotland, and it's called Glen.
It's honestly
stunning. Like,
I bought a candle yesterday for my mum on Mother's Day, which is why I picked it up and just opened it. Very rudely, actually. I just opened it, didn't I? I was like, this candle is so much nicer than the candle I bought yesterday for my mum. So now we've got it on and it's...
Oh my God, it's stunning,
beautiful.
Isn't it?
Beautiful.
It's one of the nicest smelling candles I've had in ages. We'll have to tag it or post it or something.
It's so really gorgeous. Someone actually, when I was recovering, bought me a marmalade candle, and that was
Gertlush
as well. Like, really... nice.
It's a really, really a good candle's good. I mean, there are some really shitty ones out there, aren't there?
So many
great brands, but just smell gross,
like dog shite.
Yeah, I love the neon calm. I'm a big fan of the neon calm candle.
And I don't know that one.
It's really nice. I might have it in the hallway actually. But also that color, the box of this Glen Isle of Arran candle is the same color as my living room.
Yeah, the pink's really nice. The one that I bought my mum yesterday was quite an luminous pink colour, but the children chose it, so I can just blame them for that one. I tried to steer them to a different one, but they were like not having any of it. So I was like, well, okay, let's buy the pink one.
And just blame.
That's all good. We bought her some really nice dried flowers. Anyway, we were talking about Mother's Day on Sunday, weren't we?
Yes,
because
we were.
The topic today is NCT.
NCT.
Ooh, which is a good one, actually, because we come at it from very different viewpoints. And I have actually just realised, as I said NCT, that I don't even know what NCT stands for. Do you know?
I do. The fountain of all knowledge over here.
Oh, yeah, you are.
NCT, National Childbirth Trust.
National Childbirth Trust. So it's a charity, is it?
Supposedly.
Are you flipping joking me?
Supposedly, okay. But the charity, I think it is, you know, but
right,
it definitely isn't charitable or charity-esque prices.
Yeah, well, okay, so we're coming at it from very different points of view, because
so
I didn't do NCT because I was like, I haven't paid for a friend since like Sarah Brown made me give her 20p to be her friend in the primary school playground.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not paying for friends now. So I didn't do the NCT. I actually did the free NHS version, which was 3 weeks and they were 2 hours a week. And yeah, it was really fucking scary. But so I was basically with all the people that couldn't be bothered to pay for NCT.
For friends.
And it turns out I didn't make any friends from it. So maybe, because I actually know of all the people I know who've done NCT, like you're not friends with everyone you do NCT with, but I would say all of the people I know that have done NCT have come out of it with really good friends.
Yeah, I mean, I would say two of my best friends are from NCT.
Really?
But I definitely agree. I sort of thought the same thing. I was like, why am I? I don't want to pay for friends. But actually, it's the one thing that I thought I would need, because I do like being around people. And the thought of being with a newborn baby and not having anyone sort of going through the same thing at the same time, it kind of forced me to do it, really, pushed me into it. And
that is very much why my mother uses the phrase on me a lot, you cut your nose off to spite your face.
Yeah, because
that was very much my Yorkshire, I ain't paying for friends. And then I didn't really give it any more thought. If I'd have actually thought, no, but Lucy, you're going to be having a baby soon and you don't really know. I had two very good friends who were pregnant at the same time, actually. So maybe that's why I didn't, because I kind of like, I had them as my my supposed support network.
But were they local to you though?
They were local, yeah. Oh, at the time they were Clapham and Brixton. So okay. Yeah, and we did meet up a lot to the point where I actually I'll never forget my friend who had twins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was pregnant with twins at the time. And I'll never forget the first time I met her, and we met, and she was, her twins are younger. So Dorothy was a few months old, and she just like, I was like, how are you doing? And she was like, yeah, fine. I mean, it is normal to think about killing them though, isn't it? And I was like, oh, yeah, like, shit, we need to get this woman a coffee stat
and
like dig
intervention.
Deeper into that. But I will never, ever forget her saying that and me just being like, yeah, of course it is. Of course it's totally normal to want to kill your kids, mate. But yeah.
So
maybe that's why I didn't do it as well. But I definitely, the other thing I think is, I actually wish that I had done it, because by the time I then came on to my second, both those friends had left London, and then I kind of didn't have any other network.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe if I'd have done NCT, I would have had another NCT person who was in that cycle again with me.
Yeah,
if you see what
totally.
I mean.
Yeah, completely.
So I definitely feel like that early stage of motherhood was the loneliest time of my life. Like I felt very alone. Which is so stupid, because you're literally with a human being all the time. For the first time in your life, really, you are like literally have something attached to you, quite literally, if you're breastfeeding.
Yeah.
But I did find that a really lonely time. And I think having that support network that NCT gives you, because essentially that's it, isn't it? Like,
yeah, I mean, you do learn some things, but, you know, no, you don't realise how much you don't really take it in, and you think you kind of are going to know it. You know, you don't know.
Well, we had 3 weeks as well. And I remember getting to the third and final week and being like, why the fuck are they still talking about like the pregnancy and the birth and stuff? Like, I really don't give a shit about that. What I care about is what the fuck do I do when I get home? And they literally, I remember putting up my hand and being like, sorry, are we going to cover like what happens when the baby gets here? Because it's all very pre.
Yeah,
and I'm like, an actual birth. And I'm like, that bit kind of, I know-ish what to expect. I mean, I thought that. I absolutely didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, of course,
I remember my friend handing me a pair of disposable knickers and being like, yeah, you'll need these. And me being like, why? Like, what?
Yeah.
Why would I need disposable knickers? So you don't really know what is... Yeah, like women aren't... I feel like we're better now, but I feel like, yeah, going back like 10 years, we weren't even that honest back then about like actually what happens in birth. Like I had... Maybe it's that thing as well, though, you cannot imagine what it's like until you experience it.
Also, I just don't think it's something that you can, like, I don't think it's helpful. When do you talk to someone about it? Like, the time in which someone needs to know what it's like to give birth is the time that they're pregnant. And, like, birth story was, my birth was horrendous and so, like, traumatic. Like to the point where I was diagnosed with PTSD, like sharing that. I mean, I know I'm sharing it here, but like sharing that with someone who's about to give birth, like that's just not helpful. Like if we all talked about it, I don't think people would have kids again. Because I mean, yes, some people have amazing experiences, but
the bit that they should talk about more though is crowning, because I did not know about that crowning bit and I kept on forgetting about that. Even with my third birth, I didn't even really remember that. Maybe it's just that you don't remember when you're in that like intenseness.
Yeah,
because I feel like I did start to panic.
Yeah.
And if I'd have had that drilled into me a little bit more... To be fair, I was so high on gas and air.
That's the thing. I just think it's just never what you think it's going to be. And
oh no, but the gas and air was what I thought it was going to be. That shit is amazing.
Yeah,
I had so much fun on my second birth because James and I were just left in a triage room at King's.
Yeah.
There was no space. So we were just in this tiny little box room and I was left with gas and air and James was on it. I was on it. We had such a laugh. Like we literally just laughed about Bertie's pregnancy to the point where I was crowning in the triage room and I was like, James, I feel like I've got to push right now. And
oh
I literally had to waddle to a bed. And the woman was like, yeah, I think you're crowning. Why don't you get up on all fours on the bed? And she made a junior midwife examine me and Bertie's amniotic fluid. Is that the word? My waters basically just broke in her face. James was like, she didn't even move. She just stood there like a champ and took this like jet stream of water.
Oh, and it's so much water as well. Yeah,
I was like, that is such a good pub story, isn't it? Like, yeah, she must have gone down to the pub that night and been like, I've just been, mate, my day. Like, that's,
you haven't had someone's fluids all over your face.
Bertie loves that story as well. They all like their birthing stories. Does your little girl?
No, we don't talk about it.
Oh, because it was so traumatic. It was horrible.
And it ended up in an emergency caesarean.
Oh God, that's so. It was just horrendous.
It was just. Although I did because I was having a panic attack, because I couldn't feel my legs, and then.
I hadn't slept.
Like, my induction started on the Sunday, and she was born on this Friday morning at 8:50. I basically didn't sleep. I sort of describe it as going to Ibiza, being awake, partying for 3 days, then being hit by a car, and then being handed a baby. That's the best description I've got of what I can liken my birth, how I felt at the time. And then I was shaking so much when they handed me the baby, and then they thought I didn't want to hold her because I thought I was going to drop her. I was like, and then she and then they thought I had like that I wasn't connecting with her. It's like, no, I just want to keep her safe. But,
I know I don't want to be flippant, but I describe like going to Ibiza and like being up for like 5 days and then not being handed the baby part. But I feel like that when I leave a kid's disco at school. Yes, do you know
so
what I mean?
I. Like, Jesus. Why I'm do like, I volunteer Jesus, for that? Every
I feel like
time.
I've been raving for like 4 days,
So loud and so screamy, and hardly any of them dance. They just sort of pull each other around, and or like the older ones like think they're too cool for bloody school. And school discos, oh god,
they're absolutely
awful,
horrendous,
but Gabriella always wants me to go be there, and I do want to help out and stuff, but they are just like you need ear defenders for those things.
Totally.
Like, that is not a disco, that's just like
an assault on the senses. It's an assault on the senses. I never forget, James took the kids to the first one, and he came home and he was like, Jesus, Lucy, that it went off in there. Like, it went off. And I remember thinking, you are a loser, mate.
Yeah.
And then the next time just being like, yeah, I feel like I've been raving for 4 days right now. And the reason I'm actually talking about this is because I'm going raving on Saturday,
which is
first time in a long time, for James's birthday, because I said to him, he's really jealous because I've decided I want to go do karaoke for my last birthday in London.
Yeah.
I've never done it in London before. And he was like, well, I want to do something, because he's not invited to my karaoke night. It's just the girls. And so he decided that he wants to go raving.
Yeah.
So my brother is looking after the children, and Shy FX are playing in Portsmouth.
Amazing.
But do you know what happens now?
What?
They don't rave into the night and into
the
morning.
Is it a daytime thing?
It's a daytime rave. So it starts at midday and finishes by 10 o'clock.
Oh my God.
Our friends are coming down from the West Country, and they're getting the last train back.
What? Why aren't you finding an after party? There's got to be an after party.
Oh no, me and James will be finding an after party, baby. We're going to put them on the train home, and then we're going to go party with Shy FX. Yeah, setting my sights high here, people.
I'm going to go and hunt them down in Portsmouth, because they're going to stay in Portsmouth.
I'm staying in Portsmouth. I'm not going on the night ferry back to Gosport, aka Gospit, which, if you're ever in Portsmouth, you're out for a night out, go back on the ferry to Gosport. Even if it's just for the laugh of it, because the ferry stops and the night ferry begins, which are basically just speedboats that basically just take you across the channel.
Right.
You're with loads of Matlows, although it's probably different.
What's
now.
A Matlow?
A Matlow's like a squaddy, but the Navy version. So it's like a young Navy person is a Matlow.
Right, okay.
Like a squaddy. But, and you, so you used to go back with all of the squaddy, all of the Matlows on the bus, on the boat home.
Because what is Gosport?
It's like on the other side of Portsmouth Harbour, basically.
Right, okay.
So you've got Portsmouth on one side of the harbour.
Yeah.
And then you've got Gosport on the other side
of the harbour.
And
that's where the Navy are based, in Gosport.
Yes, a lot of the Navy are based in Gosport.
Because I've got no idea about
they've
Portsmouth.
Got, oh, sorry, yeah.
Although
they've
my
got
friend,
all
my
stores
other
and stuff. So all the old stores and all of that lot are over there. So apparently it's King Henry VIII that created Gosport.
Oh, really?
Because Portsmouth was too, like, it got too big. And so they moved all of the naval stuff over to Gosport, which is when Gosport was born.
Oh,
so, yeah, it's a very big Navy town.
Centric. Well, yeah. Your dad was in the Navy, so that's why you're such an expert on this.
Yes.
And why I'm not. Although my uncle was in the Navy.
I've got navy blood.
Yeah.
When James and I got a ferry back from France 1 year, everyone, it was like vomit dominoes on the ferry. I mean, like it was the stormiest crossing and everyone was just puking everywhere. Like I went into the toilets at one point and I was like, Jesus Christ. I was just sitting there with a bottle of red wine, swigging from the bottle of red wine, telling everyone I had navy legs. I've got navy legs, me. And James was like, you were hideous, man. Everyone was so sick and you were just pissed with a bottle of wine.
Smug Lucy.
Oh, another reason why I don't drink. Yeah.
Taking it back to NCT.
Do we have to?
Oh. Well, you didn't do it. So you're still upset that you didn't, possibly.
No, I mean, no, I'm not upset because I actually, like, I also learned a lot about different cultures. So there's a lot of different cultures and stuff on my NCT.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And we were talking. At one point, we had to split off into other groups. And for some reason, we started talking about how some babies are born with like lumps on their forehead or on their heads and stuff.
Right.
And one woman basically was like, oh, in my culture, if a baby's born with a lump on their head, we just push it back down. And we were like, what? And she was like, you just push it over and over again because their skulls are so like I just remember we were all sitting there like, oh my God. And she was like, yeah, yeah, it works. Honestly, we just sit there over and over again and just massage it basically back into their heads. Ooh. And we were like, oh my God, that sounds absolutely hideous. And now I always think that if I ever see a lump on someone's head, I think
you could massage that
back in.
Their
heads are really malleable. It's funny the things that you remember as well, because I once remember my English language A-level college teacher telling me that if you bounced a baby against the wall, it would probably just bounce back and wouldn't break any bones because they're so soft as well. Yeah, and I'll never forget that. Also, weird things like that just stick in my head. I don't know why. Not that I ever tried that with any of my children, just to clarify.
I can imagine that given what we're with their bones setting and, oh, I mean, I feel like even now there are things like my sister just had a baby and Gabriella's 10 this year and I still am like, oh, really? I never knew that. But I do.
My friend's got 3 children, okay, grown up. They're all at university. Yeah. She's mental because she's just had another baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's got 3 boys and she's now going back into it. She's also a midwife. And she keeps on calling me up and asking me, is this normal? Is that normal? And I'm like, you have 3 children who are grown and you're also a midwife. Why are you asking me? But it's when you're, I suppose, because she hasn't done that newborn role for long.
Ages.
She's questioning everything.
Totally. And I think that's why it's really, really good. Like, that was one of the reasons why I wanted to do NCT because it is buying friends. Like, you do learn some things. But ultimately,
what did you learn? Go on then, tell me what you learned at NCT. What do you remember?
The things I remember are
they had really good biscuits. That's what I remember. Because I remember they had really rubbish biscuits at my free one.
No. They didn't have very good biscuits. I actually remember the furniture smelling a bit. And especially when you're pregnant, your sense of smell is so much more heightened. But the things I really remember about NCT are one of the dads asking how would they know who the midwife is when in hospital.
Wow.
That was quite funny. Definitely the smell of some of the cushions, like they just needed a wash.
Right.
And
I'm not hearing any real factual based information.
I vaguely remember having to practice swaddling, which I don't think we ever ended up doing.
That's an Australian thing, mate. Swaddling.
Oh,
they love
really?
A bit of swaddling over there.
But I definitely don't feel, my mum had twins when I was 12. So I have had some experience of like watching babies and whatever grow up, I suppose. And lots of my friends had had kids that I helped look after often. But I don't necessarily, it was definitely like, for me, it was the friendships. And there were 7 families in our NCT group. And I think that's my point, is that what I found was that a lot of people forget what they've, when you're in it at the time.
In the trenches
of it, you kind of can talk about it. And what I found was when I did have Gabriella, a lot of people were like, oh, if I'd ask a friend that was like even a year ahead of me or, you know, 8 months ahead of me.
You forget.
They're like, oh, God, I can't remember.
Yeah, that is true.
And so it was really nice to have like a group, you know, a WhatsApp group where you could all sort of like say, yeah, by the way, is this you finding this or whatever?
And also do things together, I suppose. Yeah, like I'd do the classes. So I did a baby massage and I remember the three other women were NCT friends that I was on the baby massage course. Bitches never invited me to be in their group.
Didn't they?
No, they were like, oh, you're not being in our group. You're free, like cheap
you
cow.
Freeloader.
But they didn't. They never invite. I always thought they were going to invite me for a coffee every time we stopped. Every time we walked out of class, I thought they're going to ask me today. And then they all used to fuck off together. You three. Actually, I still follow them. One of them on Instagram. She was really nice, but yeah. It's that, isn't it?
Like, you know, walking around Brockwell Park at the time, like watching all those smug, like groups of women in their pushchairs and stuff. I thought, you know what? I don't really want to be part of that, but I feel I have to be because what I don't want to be is on my own.
The loner, which I was.
I didn't want that. But I do, out of the seven, like four of us have remained really close.
That's pretty good statistics.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know, they were the classic, you know, one was a bit, you know, there was definitely a supreme smug one that, you know, sort of fell off the radar.
Yeah.
But
she's moved on to her next, like, little...
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, there's only so many times they can say something that will just be like, what? Whoop.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so I think people sort of just moved away. But I think it was, I would definitely do it. Like if I had another one now.
Would you do it again?
Yeah, I would actually.
Would
because,
you?
Yeah, because I think it's good to have people around you that are off work at the same time, you know, that you've got to hang out with. Like we did loads of stuff together. And I always said, when they went round the room and said, you know, what do you want from this at the end? My thing was just to be honest, because actually what I don't want is to meet six other women that I'm going to hang out with who are just like, oh, yes, mine sleeps through the night. Oh, yes, I'm loving being a mum. Oh, yes, you know, and all that kind of crap. When actually what you need is just people to be honest with. And I always feel like I'm the one that starts it. Like, I'm like, God, it's so hard, isn't it? Or God, this feels really overwhelming. Or fuck, the other day I was stood there thinking, wow, this is forever. Not that I wanted anything to obviously happen to my child, but like, and then as soon as I said it, they were like, oh my God, yeah, me too. Yeah. I'm so relieved you said it. So yeah, I was very clear that I thought we should all be like really honest and sort of not. And most of them did, but there are definitely one.
So is that what it is then as well? Do they kind of like, they talk about the fact you're a group and you're like a, do you know what I mean?
Cohort.
You're expected to kind of support each other. Yeah, is that part of it?
Yeah. And also you did like drinks before. They were like, why don't you, we all went for drinks in Brixton actually, because ours was in Herne Hill.
Before you even did an NCT class, you went for drinks?
At the end of the NCT, okay, we went for drinks. Maybe at the end of, I can't even remember how many weeks we did it for now. I think it was like intense 2 weekends or something. Then at the second weekend, we all went for drinks. And then once the babies were born, we took them all to, we all met up in the pub with our NCT woman in Herne Hill in the Florence. So we were all there.
I feel like I want to do a bit more like investigation on the old NCT like organization now. Like that's quite interesting that is... Like, it's like a club almost, isn't it?
I suppose. It's a friendship. It's definitely a friendship.
I never thought of it like that.
And also, like, the birth, no one even told me. I mean, my friend was headed up the anaesthetics at King's when I had Gabriella. And I was induced on the Sunday. My induction started on the Sunday. And on the Monday, he was like, well, yeah, she'll probably come Thursday, Friday. And I was like, ha! As if. Or like, I think he said Wednesday, Thursday. And I was like, absolutely not. And, you know, I didn't even know at the time. I assumed that when I was induced, rightly or wrongly, and maybe this makes me sound really stupid, but I assumed that the baby would be born within like 24 to 48 hours.
Well, no, I don't think you're stupid. I think that's kind of what you expect based on everything that you see and are told in the media and like on film and TV and stuff.
Totally.
Because it's just not a realistic portrayal, but that's is kind of how you imagine it. That's why you think your waters are going to break like that.
Yeah, and,
you
know, yeah, yeah.
And you not do have kind of, yeah, you, all of those kind of things. A really hot Irish doctor broke Dorothy's waters. And I remember flirting with him and thinking, there's definite vibe here. Yeah. And then thinking, afterwards thinking, that's because you were high on gas and air. Yeah. You had your legs akimbo and he was literally up at your cervix. And yeah, you were like, hey, we're flirting him. And like, what the fuck?
I remember at uni being in hospital actually, and really fancying the doctor, and it, the suspicion was that I had an extreme STD. And I thought at that point he might like me back. As it happens, like, yeah,
I can look past your gonorrhea, Crystal.
Crystal!
Why is it always? Don't know her name.
God.
Don't know her name.
Don't know her name.
Tell.
Christelle. But yeah, it was just, I remember having that like really flirty moment with him. And then
delusion.
Yeah, having to pretend that I had absolutely no idea. Like I was Mary, the Virgin.
I don't know how this STI has happened at all.
Me? What?
Is it like a verruca? Can you pick it up at the swimming pool?
But luckily, it was all okay in the end, but it was, that's what I was
thinking. God, and, don't.
Yeah, I was like really, you know, just thought he was really fit. And that, yeah, anyway, but...
when James and I first got together, I sent him to an STI clinic. I was like, I don't know where you've been.
Yeah, Mark and I
dirty
did that.
Boy, did you? Okay, yeah, fine, yeah, yeah. That's pretty normal.
I think it's responsible, especially when you get to like, when you meet, well, I suppose... You were late 20s when you actually got together, and I was.
We were riddled by that point.
Early 30s.
Yeah. Huh? We were riddled by that point.
You know, when you've got that experience, that like.
Oh, that's a good topic, actually. The number. Did you ever get obsessed
that's
with your
a
number?
Really good topic.
I was always obsessed with getting to double digits, man. Like, what a hoe train. I was like, gotta get my digits up, man. I don't want to have, like, slept with single figures. Like, what is that about? That's such a weird thing.
And it is something you talk about as well. Not now necessarily, but like when in your 20s, you do sort of keep a tally.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I know my tally. I still know my tally. Mm. That's because it hasn't changed for so long, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But since your late 20s. One thing I will say about NCT as well, though, is I do remember someone coming in and talking about water births, and James was the person, and I was like, what is he going to ask? Because they were like, talked about the water birth, and then we're like, is there any questions? And James just went, we're all thinking it. Has a baby ever drowned? I know.
No.
I was so upset with him. I was like, that's... And then, do you know what she said?
Yeah.
She was like, there is one case in like Sweden or something where a baby drowned, but it's not very likely. And I was just like, I wasn't thinking that.
I thought they didn't take a breath until they are up above the water.
That's what she said. But then she was like, there is a case in Sweden. And then the other thing that I felt was really bad was Dorothy was born on the 3rd of July, but her due date was like Boxing Day or the day after Boxing Day. And then
3rd of July, 3rd of January.
January, yeah. Sorry.
Due date was Boxing Day.
Don't know.
She was like 7 months late.
The induction was really slow.
Yeah. And no one taught us that at NCT.
Everyone started talking about whether it was if it started snowing and we couldn't get to the hospital and stuff like that. And I was like, God, I haven't even thought about that. But now I fucking will be. Like, thanks a lot for that, guys. But yeah, so people just shat me up as well. I wasn't really thinking about all these things.
I felt that. I felt people were asking. There were lots of questions that I hadn't really thought about. And actually, it's sort of almost more panic inducing.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually had, at one point, some friends of ours had kids sort of a year ahead.
Yeah.
And at one point, I had to really contemplate whether I could hang out with them anymore. Because obviously, before having your kid, you don't have those sort of instinctive maternal hormones zooming around your body.
Mm.
And you look at someone with a baby and it just looks like hell.
Yeah.
And I was like, Mark, I just don't know if we can see them this weekend because I just don't know if I can have, I don't know if I can see how awful it looks, you know, and it's starting to make me panic. But there were definitely questions as well in my NCT that I was like, shit, I hadn't even thought of that. But I don't know. I think it's, I wish I'd learned a bit more about the birth and the complications that can arise from, but then I guess, you know what, if I'd have had a really easy, straightforward birth, maybe I wouldn't feel that way.
Yeah.
So it's all just like perspective, isn't it? And like your own subjective even.
Would you change it? No, I probably
would I change
wouldn't.
What?
Well, if I could go back again, would I do NCT?
I definitely.
I'm not really one that lives with regrets, but I think I wouldn't, just because I love the story about the bump on the person's head and pushing it back in. And I got that from my free ones. Yeah. So. And also, they were in, they were over near King's Hospital, because that's where I gave birth, and they were in a community hospital down there. And we went past a really nice fish and chip shop in Herne Hill on the way back.
Oh,
we
used to get fish and chips. Ken's or?
They've shut down now, I think. Oh. The one on the hill, you know, as you come into Herne Hill, like coming from Camberwell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a really nice fish and chip shop, like right on the road.
Oh, I think it's gone yes. now. Oh, at the top, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, I used to live near that one.
It's really good. Yeah, and that's
really nice couple. Yeah. It was a woman and a husband and wife. Yeah, they were delicious fish and chips, actually. Anyway. I remember those. Yeah, I guess there's no point, like, regretting it. I had a point, and I just, what were we talking about? You were talking about...
Would you, if you could go back, you would do NCT again, yeah, it sounds like.
Yeah, I definitely would do NCT again. There was something else about... Oh, shit, I can't remember now.
But I did this last week. Yeah, it's your turn this week to be losing your train of thought.
What were we talking about before the fish and chip shop, Herne Hill...
Oh, the bump story.
The bump on the
pushing
head.
The bump back in.
Oh, do you know what? I can't.
Which still makes me shudder.
I know what I was thinking. Yeah, those other sort of like the breastfeeding clinics and all of that. I was thinking about the people that I met on some of the sort of free ones.
The breastfeeding clinics. They were hideous. Yeah, enjoy those?
No, not really. God, my tits were hurting. So, I mean, I was crying with pain.
Oh, yeah. One of my nipples has never been the same.
Oh, but because before I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, they obviously put me forward for like postnatal depression, which I knew I didn't have because I totally loved my baby and I was sort of happy. I was just riddled with anxiety and couldn't sleep because I thought I was going to have a brain tumour. I thought I had a brain tumour because PTSD can often manifest in health anxiety. So that was my thing. So, but oh my God, fucking hell. Going to these like I was in Pimlico for my therapy sessions and for postnatal depression. And like, there were some people in there that were genuinely like, poor them, you know, it's really sad. And then there were just people like, oh my God, there was this American lady that was like, oh my God, like, I just want to do my makeup and I want to like wash my hair and do my hair. And since this baby's calm, I kind of, you know, and like there was this other woman like really worried, like found the fact that her baby cried in a public place really depressing. And I'm not trying to belittle that because you're completely fucked up once you've had a kid, aren't you, for the first few weeks at least.
Yeah,
you know, your hormones are everywhere. And for months, actually, I reckon. Yeah, for months. But it was just amazing how many, I remember just sitting here and thinking, my God, these are like such first world problems. Like, of course your baby's going to cry in a cafe. Like, don't worry about it. Or, and that's probably an awful thing to say. But like, of course, like, what, you're gutted because you can't do your hair and your makeup like you used to. Like, are you for real? And someone's actually sent you to this thing. It was just a bit. You know, do you know what though? I need to be less judgmental. Each to their own on what depresses and what causes sort of a depression or anxiety in people.
Yeah.
What can trigger one person won't trigger another. So I should be sympathetic.
No, but do you know what? I feel like it's probably to do with our like neurodiversity because like we struggle with things like makeup and hair routine, like those type of routines, or do you have a really good routine? Because I don't.
So what are you trying to say, love?
I would struggle with that normally. Do you know what I mean?
Same.
But for someone, I suppose, who is used to like having that really set routine, maybe that like
glamorous.
Throws her off. But like for me, like, I mean, I don't shower that much anyway. So like, it didn't really make a difference. Yeah. I don't like going from hot to cold.
I think, I don't know, you definitely meet a few people, but yeah, I do think I would always say to someone to do NCT, but I would never say it's for learning anything. It is simply to get a group
of
people around
tribe.
You that live locally, which in London especially, you know, can be
yeah.
is nice because all of our friends are all over the place.
Yeah.
And you know, to sort of form some friendships and to not get lonely. Like, I think, you know...
It's a tick from us, NCT.
Yeah, it's a tick from us. But I would like to sort of... But I think what it could do is not be as expensive for people. Because I think they'd get more people doing it.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, that's what I meant, but I kind of want to do a bit of investigation on it. Like, is it a trust? I'm sure it is. So expensive.
Like,
do you know what I mean? I feel like it is quite. It's the Yummy Mummy Club, isn't it? Really,
that's probably. Oh,
they should rebrand the Yummy Mummy Club. Maybe that doesn't have the same ring, but yeah, it's like it's quite. Like, you know the type of people you're going to meet on NCT, don't you, really? I think that's maybe another reason why I didn't do it, because I felt like I've got enough of you as friends, actually.
Most everyone sort of that I met was sound. There was just this one person that kept, sort of, I don't know, being a bit judgy towards the others and sort of, you know, I remember having like cranial osteopathy as part of, like, Gabriella had it and they treated me as part of it.
What the hell is that?
It's sort of when they work on there's a really good cranial osteopathy charity in Wandsworth, which for some reason I think has got something to do with Mark Darcy. What's his name?
Colin Firth.
Colin Firth. Got a feeling he
James so someone at the school that the kids go to said that James's nickname is Mr. Darcy.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Which really made me laugh.
Oh my god.
But then she followed it up with, "Yeah, I don't put you two together."
What
do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? I've had that said to me before as well, like, you would have never been with him back in the day. Like, basically meaning you're common as muck and he's posh. I know.
God,
I had a woman tell me
so
that.
Rude.
She was like, he'd have never been back with you back in the day. She was a very old Irish lady. But yeah, I know. How rude is that? And then I had to sit in the car with her daughter while they went in to learn about James's family history. Yeah, I know. She's basically like, you're scum, mate. You're fucking scum.
Yeah, that's rubbish.
I know, I didn't care because, I mean, I like it. I wear my commonness like a badge of honour. I love that. Common as muck.
But also, I hate the class thing in England.
Well, it's
actually
a very UK thing.
In the UK. Like, in Norway, it's just not like that at all. Like, the royal family go to the same schools. You know, there's just not... And which is funny, because my stepfather is from, like... He is from an aristocratic background.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he's been around since I was, like, five. And so his... But my mum's world... I'm much more my mum's world. Like, in terms of, I just don't believe in the class system. I find it really quite an ugly thing. And I just think it's a bit sad.
Yeah, it's really sad.
But then I guess the disparity, you know, like, the disparities in the UK are so different to the ones in Norway. But I don't know what the hell we're talking, how that even came up. But yeah, it's a bit depressing, isn't it?
Oh, because James's nickname is Darcy.
Yeah, so I think the cranial osteopathy, that was what we were talking about, wasn't it? So I had this cranial osteopathy, and I remember meeting up for lunch with everyone and then saying, you know, actually I feel much better for it. And it'd be like, oh, my friend who's a GP has said that doesn't work, it's, you know, pointless. And it was like, actually I've just experienced it and had it. So yeah, there were some unhelpful comments, but otherwise everyone, you know. And there were a few unhelpful comments.
It was very supportive.
But otherwise, it was a really nice group. And actually, like I said, two of them stayed the night on Friday night with their kids.
Yeah.
And
lovely.
Other we see quite a lot as well. And yeah, it's nice. It's nice. And it's a time of our lives that, you know, we're sort of, it feels more like family because it was such a hard time.
Yeah.
And you know, being in London... And our families all three of us, our families have moved out of London or not living in London.
Well, and it goes back to that point, isn't it? And that's why I said in the trenches. And when I said that, I thought, oh God, that's really awful. But you're in that, you're just like in flight and fight mode, aren't you? When you've got a real newborn, you're literally, and that, I think that's why you forget so much of it. Because it's that thing of just like, you're just on to the next stage.
Totally.
Those stages come so quickly as well. And all of those phases, and you're just constantly, like, it's like, you've just got one down and then it's like, oh, fuck. packets, you know, different now. Like, we've got to stop feeding them. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Like, fuck, oh, is that God, all about?
Pureeing everything.
And I never did. I never did a lot of reading around like parenting. So I've got friends that, yeah, but this is the thing. I can't research things that I know that I'll get too obsessed with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was actually followed a school of parenting just because that was the natural way I went. And then it became like quite a popular thing when I had Dorothy, and I didn't even know that it was a thing. I just kind of did it because it made sense to me, which was just like intuitive parenting.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I did used to think like with co-sleeping and stuff, like I know that that's not particularly recommended, but for me, I was like, that makes the most sense to me because that's how we would have slept when we were in caves. Like, yeah, you would have had your young close to you, of course,
yeah,
for heat,
yeah, yeah,
for
yeah,
safety, absolutely, and all of that stuff. So I kind of did that real intuitive parenting without really kind of knowing that that's what it was called. And then when I figured it out, I think actually it was one of the Geldof children who talked about that a lot in the media, and that's how she was parenting, and that's kind of how I, you know, like that concept became
part of you.
Yeah,
I think it's, yeah, I, because when they're first born they feel like
animals,
and I the people would say they go a bit mad, but I mean, I think I am a bit mad anyway, but they sort of said having a horse. So at the time I had my horse because he died when Gabriella was 11 weeks. And I feel like he really taught me to be like that calm that I needed for Gabriella. Mm-hmm. Because like when the vet would come, and the vet told me off once because my horse called Targa was playing up when he was being injected. And she told me off, and she was like, you have got to calm down because your nerves are transferring to him.
Okay.
And that's why he's rearing and you know, sort of punching out. Anyway, and that calmness then that I had to learn around him, I kind of adopted the same approach with Gabriella because she felt quite animalistic.
Yeah, for sure.
Because she was just like, they're just animals, aren't they? Or they're just like things.
Yeah,
you can't communicate with an animal.
Well, yeah, they communicate with noises. Like, I'll never forget Dorothy's little like... She had this like grunt when she was feeding and like sniffing out the kind of nipple.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there was this real little animal like sniffy, where's my nipple? Like, you know, yeah, and it was, they're totally, they are. They're and just I... very, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? It like draws you back quite a lot to being like, you know, when you're giving birth and stuff, you are a bit like an, you know, do you know what I mean?
Like, all these noises just have to go out the window.
And that's why I always say now, like, if people are like, oh, you know, about getting changed in front of me or me get, I have none of that anymore.
Oh, me neither. Because not since being a mum.
Exactly. Yeah. Because birth like takes you right back down to, you know,
basics.
Yeah, that animalistic, like just, you know, as I say, flirting with an Irish guy with my legs akimbo, you know, while he's got something stuck up me. Like, you know, there's no inhibitions.
No,
anymore,
not at all.
Are there?
I mean, I basically don't even care about like having things spill on my clothes anymore because
I never did
before Gabriella. I probably would be a bit more bothered, but once like vomit and everything else comes, now often I look down and something's landed on my boobs and it's been there, you know.
What if it's like a little bit of crisp, you just like lean down and
just munch it? Although the other day I did have that bird shit on. For like hours, I didn't even notice that I did have a problem with and got changed straight away. But like, yeah, it's just loads of stuff you sort of let go of. But yeah, I think the bottom line is NCT. I'd definitely do it because we probably need to wrap up, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Because we've just been like, I need to go do the school.
I know, but it's so cozy with this candle and the blanket.
Well,
I sort of am overheating a little bit.
We're so Norwegian now.
We are very Norwegian today.
Although I heard that there's a phrase in Norwegian that basically means stick your kid outside in the nuddy like harden them. Is that not true?
I don't know about that phrase, but I do know like you do have, they do put them outside for naps and stuff with fresh air. And actually...
Yeah. Apparently there's an actual like phrase for it. See if you can find that out for next time.
I'll ask my mum and my gran later when I phone them because my mum's in Norway at the moment. But I, on that note, you know how like, people put the muslin over, so if they're in a bassinet or whatever, and
yeah,
people put the muslin over to for the sun or just to give them darkness or whatever. Mm. In Norway, you're not allowed to do that.
I don't like
and
that.
Because the, and so I think it's something that we need, that word I really want to share, because, be, spread rather, because the air circulation, if you Google it, the it it's really important. Even a thin muslin will stop the air circulating, and the heat of the air can get too hot for the babies. So...
Well, that, I never had a pram. I didn't have a pram. I just thought I want her close to me. So I just did everything in a harness.
Oh, that's good.
Everything. And then I had one of those ones that the Benettons, you know, like the buggies.
Oh, that you can use
from birth. I had one of those, which I used very rarely.
But I
never had a pram for that reason, just because I don't like the whole... Although she did sit in her car seat quite a lot, to be fair. Like, if I took her somewhere, I'd leave her in her car seat. But I would never... close off with a muslin, because it never felt quite right for me reason.
My cousins came to visit, and they were absolutely shocked that people were doing it. Like, you just aren't, it's an absolute no-no in Norway, and Scandinavia are really ahead of the times. Like, we had a rear-facing car seat until Gabriella was four, and I went to Baby Nest to buy a car seat, and they were like, yeah, this is in Scandi countries, it's like the done thing. You have rear facing, whereas here you can have rear facing until whatever.
But it's not the done thing. My friend did it, and she had it until very late age, and I always felt like, oh my god, that's overkill. But probably because I didn't do it, and I felt a bit that goes back to my 80s, being raised in the 80s. I think because I. will never forget my granddad's car when I was growing up. It was like a three-wheeler with no seatbelts in the back. And like, we were in there from like, I remember rattling around in the back and being being like, just hang on to something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's me, just like me and my brother just flying around. And we can't have been, one of us must have been like toddlers and stuff. Like, you just got bunged in the back.
There were no fucking seats.
Like, are you joking?
I know, I don't remember car seats. And we used to be picked up from the
airport. And that's why we have snowflakes now. Mm. Come on. Yeah, we ain't toughening up, man.
But I do think they definitely said to me, well, what would you prefer, a broken leg or a broken... And I was like, oh, I think we'll... But it's so funny because...
Is that what they said to you?
They were like, broken leg or a broken neck? I was like, oh, I think we'll go for a broken leg. But then so many people are like, oh, doesn't she mind? Doesn't she... It's like the same when my mum had twins, a boy and a girl, and they're like, are they identical? No. doesn't she mind being rear-facing? It's like, she's never known any different.
Yeah.
My
friend got mirrors for her as well because they they did get to a point where they were a bit more like, I want to see what's going on.
The whole time.
But yeah, my friend just got mirrors at that point, which I thought was very clever, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to go.
I can't even remember how we got onto Scandinavia. I can't remember anything today. It's one of those. No.
One of us is always a bit like this, I think.
I know. Today I'm really feeling it.
Well, we've done it.
We've done it.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Whoop, 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 whoop. NCT.
Yay.
Yay. Not net. Yeah. And it is Childbirth Trust. I've looked it up. National Childbirth Trust.
I might go into their
trust.
Accounts.
The UK's largest charity specialising in pregnancy, childbirth
Why is it so
and early
then?
parenthood.
Why is it so expensive?
I know, that's it. Because how much is a course now? Hold on, let's have a look.
It must be like a grand,
I reckon. Must be, because it was about £300 or £400 10 years ago.
Let's see.
This
is like the most boring part ever. Like, everyone's going to be like, what are they doing? They've absolutely lost it today.
I can't see it.
We'll tell you next time, but it seems very expensive to me.
We'll look it up.
That's my only comment.
Well, that's what a lot of people, that I feel like was the main point of conversation when discussing it previously, is like, do you want to pay for it?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's like that thing as well, isn't it? Like, you charge the richos to then fund the poorer people, but... Poros, I was going to say. That sounds awful. Jesus Christ, I might have to edit that out for the first time.
No,
I just don't think. But like, you know, charge people who are richer to fund, but I don't feel like they do any of the fund. Maybe they pay for the NHS course, who knows?
I don't know. We probably should have.
God, going into reviewing a charity here. Right, we will see you next week.
Absolutely. Take care. Lots of love. Bye.